Thank you. Good morning. I know everybody's enjoying the nice spring weather and the pollen that goes with it. So a lot of folks have the sniffles, I know. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10 today. Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. Very familiar story about blind Bartimaeus. And in this scripture, we are challenged to see who Jesus is with spiritual eyes. I was reading something this week about coming into the sanctuary, and sometimes, you know, in some churches, they have gone more over to entertaining rather than worship, leading in worship. And so if you come into a place where entertainment is the goal, then everything's going to be focused on self. What can I get out of this? But then it mentioned coming into a sanctuary where God's presence is filling the place, to the point that you must simply bow before God in awe. And the writer said even the lost have to come into that place and kneel down before God and recognize Him for who He is. Folks, as we have these wonderful songs and we go through our time of prayer and leading up to the Word, it's my prayer that your heart would be made ready. All week long, I've been praying that God would prepare your heart, work on you in such a way that the Word of God would just motivate you to listen to Him and respond to Him. God wants us to do that. He wants Lakeview to do that. Yes, we've talked a lot about unity, but unity begins with our walk in Christ. If everybody's walking in Christ, everybody's together. If you got some over here who think, well, I've got it made, you know, everything's okay with me, but that person over there across the aisle from me, they got problems. They do this or they say this other. Folks, that's not the way to get unity. The way to get unity is to walk with Christ and look to yourself and ask, am I walking in Christ in love? But what about the other people? Let God worry about them. Okay? We must let God deal with each one of us. We are not a judge. We are a servant of Christ. And we're supposed to be servants to our brothers and sisters. I know you believe that. I know you know that. But I just want to remind you of that. As we continue to go through our transition process, continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. And let your own opinions be second or third place. Because we are wanting the Holy Spirit to show us what kind of church we are. And to show us who is the next pastor that we're supposed to call. That is Holy Spirit work. And when we let the Holy Spirit work within us, great power happens. And in the midst of all that, we'll also see people getting saved. Because when people are united and walking with Christ together, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit will really be able to speak to the hearts of those who are lost as they come into our services. Okay, that's my mini sermon. Stand with me, if you will. We're going to read Mark 10, starting verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know that when people come to me, especially during an altar call, but also on a one-on-one situation, many times that's what I ask them. What do you want Jesus to do for you? I ask that especially of children, because I don't want to put any ideas in their head. I want them to tell me what Jesus is saying to them. And they will. So this was the question that was asked. Then they called the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you." Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So he answered and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word and let the word go out from this place so that Jesus might be exalted. Lord, I pray as I'm behind this sacred desk that people won't see or hear me, but they'll see Jesus, the risen Christ, and they will hear his word and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. First of all, I want to talk about the significance of the road. It says, "And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Well, the significance of the road is found in previous verses, Mark 10, 32, 33. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." The road was the road to Jerusalem. The road is significant because it's the road to take Jesus to Jerusalem, where he will eventually go to the cross to die for our sins. So that's a very important part of what we're looking at. Jericho had the ancient title of City of Palm Trees. There was a lot of underground water there. It refers to the abundance of palm trees in the area. Jericho is believed to be the second oldest continuously inhabited city in the world and has been described as a lush green oasis in the desert. The fertile soil of Jericho, which once made it famous for its groves of balsam and spice and date palms, was apparently due to the skillful irrigation of past times. Just like today, the people who beg choose to find the busiest thoroughfares, the busiest highways and roads. It was the same way in Jesus' day, because many people would come to Jericho on their way to Jerusalem for Passover, and they would stop over and have a little rest in Jericho before moving on to Jerusalem. So this is where we find the beggar. He's on the road begging, and there's many people coming by. There's many people standing around, and they were there. The preceding verses of Mark 10 also tell us how the disciples wanted to know who would be the greatest among them. He answered them with these words, "Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Mark 10, 43 to 45. In the final verse of our text, Jesus says that faith is what motivates Bartimaeus. The rest of the story shows us what that faith is. Bartimaeus' faith is not about reciting the correct confession or subscribing to certain teachings or even about saying a certain type of prayer. It is his strong conviction that Jesus can and will rescue him from his need. We see this faith in what Bartimaeus does in this text. The application verse to this text is this: calling on Jesus is effective when we have conviction within our hearts that he hears our plea and he will respond. I want to ask you a question right now. Do you believe that Jesus hears your prayer? Do you believe that when he hears your prayer, that he will respond? That is the very basis of faith. Just coming to God and saying, "Lord, you know the situation I'm in. But Lord, I just ask that you would intervene. I ask that you would get involved in this and that you would bring it to a good conclusion, that you may receive glory through me." A prayer like that, God hears and he does respond to it. And we need that kind of praying around Lakeview. We need that kind of praying so we can see the lost come to Christ. We need that kind of praying so we can see people get on the pathway to discipleship. It just so happens, as Shannon was talking about the pathway to discipleship, this man, this blind man, is about to get on the pathway of discipleship. He's going to have an encounter with Jesus, and he's going to get on that road and go with Jesus. Don't you want that to happen with your family members, your friends, your coworkers, your classmates? The only way it's going to happen is through prayer. Just begging God, "God, do this." But listen, if you've got any petty, wrong feelings in your heart toward anyone, that will negate your prayer. That means it's ineffective for those of you Union Countyans that don't know what negate means. It just makes it ineffective. So see, we don't want our prayers to be ineffective. We want them to be effective. We want them to be full of power. And to have that kind of power in our prayer life, we've got to walk with Jesus. And walking with Jesus, we're going to be loving people. We're not going to be critical. We're not going to have that critical spirit. When that critical spirit tries to rise up, we have to say, "Lord Jesus, get rid of it." You're not going to motivate anybody with a critical spirit. You're just going to make them mad. And that doesn't make them do anything but more of what they're doing. But if you show love and you work with people in love and love them to Jesus, they'll do what God wants them to do. And that should be what you want in their lives. We don't have any agenda. It's God's agenda. When we died at at our salvation experience, we died to self. Therefore, any agenda we might have is dead too. And if we have an agenda, we just have to say it's the Lord's agenda. We want the Lord's agenda to work through our lives. We want the Lord's agenda to work through our church. First of all, in verses 46 to 47, you see that Bartimaeus knows who Jesus is. He calls him the son of David. Now, Jesus was superior to David. In Mark 12, 35 to 37, then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is it that he then is his son? It's simple. Jesus came to the earth born through a woman, and he was of the seed of David. David had preceded him as far as genealogy, as far as the chronological events. David had preceded him in that, but that's where it stopped. Jesus Christ is superior to David the king. So we see in this that he calls Jesus son of David. Secondly, Jesus was a royal person. I'm not going to read all these verses, but if you want to make a note of it. And by the way, if you miss one of my points, a young lady last week missed one of my points and she told me going out, we've got some copies of this message, the outline, with the blanks filled in. Now, don't stop filling in the blanks. There's not a whole lot of them out there. But if you happen to miss a point or two, it's out there in the lobby up on the desk. So we try to take care of you. Jesus was a royal person. See him coming in on Palm Sunday, Mark 11, 1 through 10. They're receiving him as a king. See him on trial as a king in Mark 15, 1 through 15. And see him on the cross as he dies as a king, Mark 15, 16 to 32. Jesus is a royal person. He is God. He is very God. And he is above all. And Bartimaeus knows this. My question is, how did Bartimaeus know all this? He's a beggar. He's blind. But he knows this. Despite his blindness, Bartimaeus is able to recognize who Jesus is. Most people were not able to recognize Jesus' identity. Mark 4, 11 and 12. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. When you're dealing with lost people, they can't see. They can't see spiritually. You must share Jesus with them so they will receive him and gain their spiritual sight. That's the only way they're going to understand. In Mark 8, 18 to 21, having eyes you do not see, and having ears do you not hear, and do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls were left, which was 12? Folks, he was talking to the disciples here. The disciples themselves were not seeing spiritually as much as they would later on. As the story progresses, we find that Bartimaeus also discerns that Jesus is able to show mercy and perform acts of healing. Although Bartimaeus is physically blind, he is spiritually sighted. Secondly, we see that Bartimaeus persists despite the hindrances. Do you sometimes have hindrances and sometimes they keep you away from church? Well, Bartimaeus didn't let hindrances stop him. Sometimes we have hindrances to keep us from reading the Word of God during the week. Bartimaeus did not let hindrances stop him. Sometimes we have hindrances when we need to witness to someone. Bartimaeus didn't let that happen. Faith does not come easily to people in the Gospel of Mark. It must overcome obstacles to get what it seeks. In Mark 2, the man let down through the roof by his friend so he could get to Jesus. He had hindrances, but they got him down there. In Mark 5, the woman who touched the hem of his garment, she had hindrances. There was a whole mob of people there, but she got up there and touched the hem of his garment. In Mark 7, a Gentile woman shows Jesus her faith and her daughter is healed. In Mark 9, the boy who's delivered of demons. All these folks had hindrances. They had excuses, but they didn't let them stand in the way. They went forward and met Jesus. In the case of Bartimaeus, people were the hindrance. They rebuked Bartimaeus, wanting him to be silent. Blind beggars lived near the bottom rung of society and social privilege, both then and now. They thought Bartimaeus deserved to be who he was. Isn't that something? Well, he just deserves to be a beggar. He's nothing. They also put their needs above his needs. They wanted to get to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to do something for them. They weren't worried about Bartimaeus. And perhaps they thought they could limit what Jesus would do for Bartimaeus, but we see that nothing limits Jesus' compassion and grace. Nothing limits that grace. Bartimaeus knows better, and he yells out even more loudly so that his words will reach Jesus' ears. He didn't give up. When I was first asked to be intentional interim of Lakeview, I had to really pray about that because I wasn't sure all that was going to work out. I let thoughts hinder me, doubts. And so I just said, okay, I've got to go to God on this. I've got to pray. And so I prayed. And the Lord told me, he said, those people are going to help you. Those people are going to work with you. It's going to be different. And it turned out that's what happened. The Lord changed lives, changed hearts, changed attitudes. And we had 5 productive meetings, and the Lord worked in those meetings and worked in those hearts. But physically, with my physical eyes, I didn't see it. I'd come out of a church where I'd served for 14 years, and it was the easiest church I'd ever pastored. Everybody working together. Everything moving together. I come to Lakeview, and it's not quite the case. But God said he wanted Lakeview to be the church that she can be. And I think that's what we discern out of our 5 transition team meetings. Bartimaeus expected a change. When he expected this change, he comes to Jesus and he's transformed. Lakeview must expect a change. That God wants to change Lakeview to become the church she can be. We're going to have to get our own feelings out of the way, continue to do that, and say, Lord Jesus, what are you saying? Where are you taking us? We need to expect change. Jesus called Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had to be brought by the others. And then Bartimaeus threw aside his garment to go to Jesus. Now I want you to notice, he threw aside his garment. He threw aside his cloak. That cloak was the only thing he owned in this world. That cloak is what he wrapped himself up in when he wanted to go to sleep at night. That cloak was his shelter when it rained. That cloak was everything to him. And when Jesus called him, what did he do? He threw it down. He forsook all to follow Jesus. Have you done that? He forsook all to follow Jesus. This cloak was so important that in the law, it states, let me find that reference, in Exodus 22, 26, 27, it states if that person has pawned their cloak to borrow money, that at sundown, the one who's holding the cloak must give it back to that person so they can make it through the night. And the next morning, they give it back to the one who loaned the money. The law wouldn't even allow them to go through the night without their cloak, because so many people depended on that for safety and protection. But Bartimaeus threw it down. We've got some things we need to throw down. We need to forsake some things. Anything that hinders us. See, that cloak, he felt like it would slow him down getting to Jesus, so he didn't need it. And that's how Jesus receives us. Just as I am. That song has meaning. Just as I am, I come to you, not with my banking account, not with my cars and house and family and all that. Just as I am, I come to you. That's how Bartimaeus came to Jesus. Then in 51:52, Bartimaeus asked for the right thing. The blind man simply asked for his sight. But Jesus healed him according to his faith. With confidence and simplicity, what Bartimaeus says is consistent with the expression of faith that others in the book of Mark have made. Bartimaeus seeks no special privileges. Jesus did not come, this is going back to his disciples, asking who'd be the greatest. Jesus did not come to bestow power and honor, but to open eyes to the new spiritual realities made possible when God is in control. The dimensions of space in the story help us to understand its meaning. Bartimaeus begins the story alongside the road. He ends the story as a follower. He follows Jesus on the road. As the story begins, he is simply on the edge of society, unnoticed. He's a beggar. But the story ends with him in the middle of the action. The road, or the way, is a term Mark uses to indicate Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and his suffering, the way that he calls his followers to walk. We've all been called to get on this way to suffering. There's nothing in that that can make us high and mighty. We're not high and mighty. We're brought down low so we can humbly come to Jesus. In Mark 8:27, now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, Who do men say that I am? On the road. In Mark, Bartimaeus is not the first person seeking a miracle who approaches Jesus in faith, but he's the only one who winds up following him, most likely straight into Jerusalem. Mark's story causes us to consider the various roles that characters play in this scene. Bartimaeus had his needs and prophetic insights. Yes, prophetic insights. It had to be the Holy Spirit of God who showed him this is Jesus. The man was blind. Jesus had compassion and grace. The crowd was determined to keep Bartimaeus both blind and invisible. And there were some who wanted to guide Bartimaeus to Jesus with the hopeful words, "Take courage, get up, he's calling you." That, you know, is that you? Which one of these people is you? I pray that every one of us is the one who would say, "Take courage, get up, he's calling you." That's what we would have on our mind. To see our loved one, to see our friend come to Christ. That's what that little group had on their mind. They wanted to see Bartimaeus go to Jesus. Jesus is calling us to serve, not to be served. We sometimes tend to want our personal needs met. But in light of this passage we're studying, it would seem the most important act anyone can do is to serve others, not thinking about one's own desires or preferences. It's like things that are done in church. Some things are done in church and some people like them and some people don't like them. And it's a matter of preference. But if we start hollering one of our own preferences met, where does that put us in the scheme of things of this passage? This passage would teach us, look, be prayerful. Be considerate of especially the lost. Because as they come into your services, they're coming and seeking and searching. Some of us have been in church so long, we've gotten accustomed to church, and it's just church. It's just church. The Holy Spirit's not moving. The Holy Spirit's not working. The Holy Spirit's not changing. You need to get on your knees before Christ and say, "Lord, give me the fire again. Lord, light me up. I want to be on fire for you again." Having our little preferences satisfied will not bring us pleasure or fulfillment. But I tell you what, if you have some part in seeing a person come to Jesus and to be eternally saved, that puts you on cloud nine. Because you know what has happened is that a new creature has been born. So sometimes we just let this be a hindrance to the work of the Spirit. Do we want to point our family members and friends to Jesus? I know you do. I know you do. We've spent the last several months looking within, looking to see who we are. And I've heard several say it. It's time now for us to quit looking within. It's time now to start looking outside of these doors, within our community, in our neighborhoods, the places we work, the places we go to school. It's past time. We need to be looking for those people who don't know Christ and developing relationships with them. Go to lunch with them. If you can, have a little Bible study with them. Invite them to come to Sunday school and church. Develop that relationship so that when they can ask you the question, what about your life is different from mine? Well, that'll just open the door for you to introduce them to Jesus. Again, the application. Calling on Jesus is effective when we have conviction within our hearts that He hears our plea and He will respond. Do you believe that? Say amen. I ask you, come before Jesus. Ask Him to bring a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit of God. Not anything to uplift any person or to glorify any human, but solely to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, Jesus said in the Bible, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to me. You want your church to grow? Lift Jesus up. You want people to get saved? Lift Jesus up. That's all you got to do. You don't even have to tell them what you think. In fact, don't. You'll mess it up. You tell them what the Word teaches. You give them the Roman road. You give them some scripture in your study, in your Sunday school study that you started today. There's scripture right there, and there's going to be more scripture on how to witness. Just take those scriptures and lift them off the page and put them in your heart so that you're ready to share Christ wherever you are. We can ask and expect, and He'll respond. Don't you want that today? I want that. Big things are getting ready to happen. Search committees going to be coming together. Other things are going to happen. I'd love to see our leadership have revival. I'd love to see every member have revival. Now, I'm not talking about a series of meetings. I'm talking about meeting God here now. And just say, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? Who are the people I need to pray for? And He'll tell you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your presence today. And we know, Lord, that You're here in great power, and it is Your heart's desire that we be molded in the image of Christ, that we would respond to You with great faith, and that we would bring our petitions and intercessions to You with the expectation that You're going to hear us. And Lord, we just ask for a spiritual revival among us, that we can all come together as one body. As Paul describes in the book of Ephesians, one body, one spirit, one Lord. Lord, You're united. You are one. And we want to be one with You. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand? This altar is open to you. I invite you to come. Praise Him. thank you this week, this coming week, if you're going to pray for those opportunities to present people to Christ, just say amen. Amen. Just pray for those opportunities and they will come to you. And I thank you for listening. I'm going to turn it over to Brian right now. Be seated.
All right. Boy, aren't you blessed to be here today? Amen. We are so blessed to have a pastoral staff that truly seeks the will of God, to seek His face, and I'm just blessed to be able to be a part of this church. Amen. I'm so excited about, as Pastor Donnie mentioned, if you're a guest here, we're so excited about the transition time we're in as we're seeking to find out who that senior pastor is that God is bringing to our church. But to do that, we have to do some business things. So what I'm doing right now is just announcing to you several items that are going to be coming up for votes next week. Now, if you'll remember, we do have a business meeting in 10 minutes after we say the benediction. So we'll give our guests time to leave and you time to get your kids and get back here. The only thing we have today is to announce the three different committees that we're going to present to you. One of those is the Staff Relations Committee. One of those is the Bylaws Committee. And then the Pastor Search Committee. Now, you've got to stick around for the meeting to find those names out. In TV, what I work in, we call that a tease. So stick around and you get to hear those names in just a few moments. So, but let me give you very quickly. Next Sunday, we're going to vote on several things. The Nominating Committee is recommending adding Cynthia Meacham as an assistant clerk. And then from the stewardship, they're recommending that we create a budget line in the amount of $7,500 for the pastor search committee. Now, that is money that's already in the budget, but because we're changing the purpose of those dollars and for the fact that it's over $5,000, we'll need to vote on that. So the money's there. We just need to get the church's blessing on that. And then also there's an increase from the stewardship in the budget line, 5050.03, from $4,800 to $9,300. That's an increase of $4,500 for the implementation and conversion to an improved church management software system. So they're purchasing some new software. We just need to get some approval so they can go ahead on that. And we'll tell you more about that next week in the discussion time. Also, as I mentioned, we'll be voting on the Bylaw Committee, Staff Relations, and Pastor Search. So immediately after the service, I'm going to let Pastor Shannon pray. We'll start the clock in 10 minutes, and we'll come back in here to give you those names to vote on for next week. Everybody got that? Is that clear as mud? Should be fairly clear. All right. Well, thank you all so much for being a part here at Lakeview this morning, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Shannon for a moment.
Thank you, Brian. And I won't be long. I just want to remind you of a couple of things. One thing, as you heard in our announcements earlier this morning, remember the Missions Barbecue, Chicken Barbecue, is this week. If you're not sure, it's this Friday here at the church, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Plates are $9. That includes half chicken, beans, chips, bread. Still can use the help, okay? We still need help. The sign-ups are out in the lobby right when you go out there, and I believe they can even arrange for your deliveries to your workplace with a certain number of plates, so see them about that. If you can't make it here during that time, you can come and eat here in the fellowship hall, I believe, or take it home with you. So please spread the word, and if you possibly can, come and help. And again, that benefits our Missions 1-8 Fund for our mission opportunities here at Lakeview. And just one other thing, I just wanted to remind all of our college students, we have college lunch for you today. That's going to be at Janet and Charlie Brown's house. And if you need directions to that, see Pastor Mark. He's somewhere around here, so leave over here. So that's all I have. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to be dismissed. Remember, 10 minutes, we'll be back in here just for a few minutes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time this morning. It has been a great day to be in your house. And we thank you, God, for the time that we've had just to worship you, to praise you, to uplift you, to put you in your proper place this morning. But, Lord, also thank you for your word this morning. And thank you, God, for the sight that you give us spiritually that only comes for you. And, Lord, I pray that we will live by faith, that we will seek you out, And God, that you will lead every step that we take. Lord, both personally in our walk with you every day, but also, Lord, as a church, as a body of Christ here at Lakeview. And so, Lord, again this week, use us for your glory, for your praise, in Jesus' name. Amen.